All right. Well, today I'm preaching a message called Say Goodbye. Don't worry, this is not my farewell. Like, come and celebrate 10 years in 2 weeks, but today's actually my last day. Say goodbye. It's not a say goodbye message, but we are going to say goodbye to something today. Praise the Lord. So, you know, in our family, I know every family is a little bit different, but in our family, you know, when we say goodbye, everybody hugs everybody and, you know, says love you, and then sometimes you end up talking, and then we do round two where we say goodbye again and all that stuff. And, you know, so goodbyes can be a lot of different things. Sometimes there's goodbyes that are happy, you know, we're going to see you again soon. Sometimes there's goodbyes that are sad because you're departing for a good period of time. And then there's goodbyes that are neutral, right? It's just, all right, see you later, man. Like, there's not really any emotional connection to it. There's all kinds of different ways that we say goodbyes. But the thing is, what is a goodbye? Like, what is actually taking place when we are saying goodbye to something, someone? It's not just a word that we say because we don't know what else to say, but it's signifying that something is happening. We're parting ways, right? We're not going the same place, the same direction. We're not going to be together past this point. I'm going here, you're going there. We're going to separate our paths here. We're not journeying together any longer. So sometimes goodbyes are towards people, right? We're not going together anymore. We're going separate ways. But sometimes a goodbye can be directed at places or things, right? Donald said goodbye to Florida a couple of days ago, and then he had to say hello to Illinois. I mean, what an awful transition that was. All right, so we say goodbye when we're going to leave a place. Goodbye when we're leaving things behind. And so, you know, we have all those different aspects of goodbyes in our lives. And today we're going to look at saying goodbye from a story with Abraham and how this applies to us in a spiritual sense of saying goodbye. So how many of you believe this morning that God has a plan for your life? The rest of you that don't believe that, it's true. God does have a plan for your life. Now, how many of you guys know that in that plan, we get impatient? We get to the point where we're trying to get the wheels turning and then help God along, because we all know that as much as we need Jesus' help, we know that He needs ours too, right? To get the plan going, to actually get the wheels moving at times, we think that. We're like, you know what, I'll just help you along because I'm tired of waiting. And so Abraham, if you don't know much of the backstory, Abraham had a promise made to him by God. And God told Abraham, He said, you'll have a son in your old age, and that ultimately God would make Abraham the father of many nations. In fact, He said, your descendants will be as much as the dust on the earth, if you could count the dust. I don't know about you, but I get really tired of dusting. I'm like, where does it all come from? And God says, Abraham, you're going to have so many descendants, it'll be like if you could count the dust on the earth. So He has this great promise, but at the same time, He has a couple of problems from our human standpoint, a couple of problems that are involved in this promise. Number one, it doesn't happen right away for Abraham. And number two, God didn't really give him the details, so it's not like He knows when it's going to happen. And so from Abraham's standpoint, okay, God's made me a promise, but it's been a while, and I don't really know when this is supposed to happen. Can anybody relate to this happening in our lives where we're like, I'm believing in God for something. I believe it's true. I believe it's going to happen, but I don't really know when, and I'm kind of tired of waiting. In fact, I kind of feel like if I don't start to get the ball rolling, that maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe God needs a nudge, right? Maybe God needs some help. We find ourselves in this place sometimes where we're waiting for things to happen, and we're wondering how will they happen. And quite frankly, if you're like me, sometimes we just have had enough. I'm tired of it. I'm going to do something about it. And this is what Abraham and his wife do, Sarah. Sarah was old and barren. So Sarah has the idea. Abraham, you have the promise. You're going to have a son, and apparently you're going to be the father of many nations, but you got to start with one, right? You got to start with one son before you can do any of that. And we're old. And where is God? And what is going on? How is this even going to be possible? And she has this suggestion. Well, Abraham, why don't you take my servant Hagar, and why don't you just have a child with her? Right? It needs to be Abraham's child. So she's like, it's no problem. I can cut out here. We can get a substitute in here. You can have your son. And boom, God's plan can be in motion. Abraham agrees. Right? And so we see Ishmael was born out of this situation. Now, how many of you are like me and you read this story and you're like, Abraham, you're a knucklehead. Right? I mean, like, we can look at it now and we're like, why would you do that? Like, God promised you a son. He didn't say figure it out. He just said it would happen. Why didn't you just wait? But isn't it easy for us to look at other people's lives and their situations, and it's so easy for us to see every mistake that they've made and every way that they should have done something different, and every way that their life and their situation is some kind of a mess. And yet we don't even see that in our own lives half the time as it's happening. So Abraham makes a mistake. He listened to his wife. Nobody's laughing. Bud wants to laugh really bad. I can tell, Melissa. Don't hit him. It wasn't the fact that he listened to his wife that was the problem. The problem was that his wife was not operating by faith. And so he took the advice of his wife as she's not operating by faith. And if you consider the fact that it's the very thing that Abraham is known for, is his faith, right? He's known as the father of our faith because he so radically believed what God said. Yet here, in this time where he doesn't want to wait, he takes the advice of his wife, who in this moment is not operating in faith. So what is faith? Why was the faith aspect so important? Because they had a son. They had a son, which is what we had to start with. But faith is important. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is not based on what we see in the natural world. It's based on a radical belief in Christ and all that He said, all that He's promised. A radical belief, but yet we see Abraham and Sarah make a decision. Now hear me, the decision was based on what God said. So on the surface of it, you can look at it and say, well, God said they would have a son, and they did. So they made this decision based on what God said. The problem is the route that they took was not a route of faith. It was actually a route of disbelief. It was actually a route of, well, God said, but He's not doing, so let us do what God said. Let us take the wheel. They got the opposite of the Carrie Underwood thing here. Instead of Jesus take the wheel, it's like, Jesus, I'll take the wheel, right? I don't want to be the passenger in this journey anymore. And so this is the beginning of a scene where it's like the train's coming off the tracks, right? A big mistake has been made here. A mistake that actually would outlive Abraham in the natural. And we're actually still seeing the repercussions of this mistake today with the Islam faith. All is rooted in Ishmael. This mistake has severe consequences where still to this day, the offspring of Hagar and her son are still warring against the promised son of God. But something happens here in this story. This mistake is made. It has consequences. But if we fast forward a few years, Sarah has a son. God opens her womb. She has a son. His name is Isaac. And here we have the promised son, a miracle from God. And Sarah begins to recognize that there's some incompatibility here between the son of the slave, of the bondwoman, and the son of the promise. She sees that this is not really going to work out the way that we had thought that it would. And so in Genesis chapter 21 is where we're going to pick up verse 8. This is speaking of Ishmael. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. So Isaac's the son of the promise from Sarah. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac." And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. So God said to Abraham, "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed." So Abraham rose early in the morning. He took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it to her and to the boy, and sent them away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Sarah tells Abraham, the son of the bondwoman cannot be the heir with the son of the promise. He can't be. Hagar's got to go. Ishmael's got to go with her. They've got to be cast out. Now, I know in our humanity, we see this and we're like, this seems like a really bad story, right? This seems like it's pretty harsh. But sometimes in our lives, we have to take actions that seem kind of harsh to save lives. Okay, and this is what's happening here. Hagar and Ishmael did nothing to deserve this, right? They're just living. Hagar did what she was told. Ishmael was just born, and he's just living his life. But we've got to put aside the sympathy for them for just a moment to get to the point of the story. After all, they are dead, okay? So you don't really have to feel that bad for them now. They're not currently going through this. But look at this strictly from the spiritual parallels we can draw from this. We have the son of the promise, the free son that God promised. And then we have the son of bondage. You know, you can picture this as like the square peg that we try to fit in the round hole as a kid. It's like Abraham took that square peg and got his knife out and started like shaving off the corners, right? How much do I got to shave off before I can get this to actually fit through there? And it's like he finally got it through there and was like, look at what God did, right? Look at what God did. This square peg, in fact, does fit in the round hole after I manipulated the situation and made it work. Ishmael was 14 years old when Isaac was born. So consider the fact that Abraham had lived 14 years under a false version of the promise of God. He had 14 years of "I made God's plan finally start to grow. I made God's plan finally start to take action." 14 years. I'm going to tell you, at 14 years, there's a point in there where he forgot that he's the one that got this motion going. There's a point in there where he had to believe that this was God's plan for him. God said, "I would have a son," and I had a son. The problem is, this was a man-made version of a promise of God. And I'm going to tell you, anytime we have a man-made version of anything that is supposed to be of God, it will fail. Amen? It will fail. It will not be fruitful. It will end in destruction. Guaranteed. It wasn't blessed by God. Church, when we force the things of God to happen, we try to manufacture it on our own. It's not blessed by Him, and He's not in it. And so Abraham, at this point, he's emotionally attached to this son of the bondwoman, this son that is not the promise of God, and he loved his son. But as he loved his son, he loved a son of bondage. He loved a son that was not a son of the promise. He's emotionally attached. Imagine after 14 years of thinking, man, this is God's plan for my life, and then one day, you're reminded, this is not God's plan. In fact, this plan cannot coexist with God's plan. We've got to say goodbye. And then he goes to the Lord in prayer, and God says, you know, Abraham, your wife is right, and you should listen to her. How many of you guys have heard that in a moment of prayer? God is, you know, your wife is right, you better listen to her. I've heard that more than once in prayer. But he gets this revelation. He thinks that it's God's plan, but it's not God's plan. God brought forth the son of the promise through a miracle. Right? Through a miracle. He opened this barren womb, and he showed his power in the midst of doubt. And church, we need to be reminded that he even did this in a season of doubt, because as the angel had come and told them, you're going to have a child this time next year. And what did Sarah do? She laughed. She's like, yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, who's saying that? That's not even possible. But God worked even in this season of doubt. And Isaac's arrival was actually evidence that God did not accept Abraham's plan. Right? It's one of the beauties I love of the cross and the resurrection. Do you realize that the fact that Jesus rose from the dead is evidence, it is proof that the Father accepted the sacrifice on the cross. It's proof. And this likewise is proof that God did not accept Abraham's, you know, pseudo plan of bringing forth a son, because God brought forth the true son of the promise. Abraham is at a point in his life where he has to say goodbye to Hagar and to the boy. He has to say goodbye because God's plan doesn't thrive when we're still emotionally attached to our own plan. And so it's time to sever those ties. It's time to say goodbye to our plan. It's time to say goodbye to our ways, to the things that we try to force and try to make happen, and then we put the God did this stamp on it. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I look back and I'm like, yeah, that wasn't God, that was me. I tried to make that happen because I was impatient and I didn't want to wait, and I thought I had a plan that was good and that was going to work. It turns out that wasn't God, that was me. And it's part of why it usually ends up unraveling or falling apart, or maybe it continues to function, but it's just really not that good. It's not really that fruitful. And so we've got to sever the ties with our own plans, our own desires. We've got to part ways. We've got to go different directions from them. Now, why is it hard to say goodbye? It's hard to say goodbye because we get emotionally involved with our plan. We get emotionally involved with what's happening in our lives. And sometimes we have to say goodbye like Abraham. He had to say goodbye because this relationship was a mistake. Do you know that there's times in our life we've got to say goodbye to mistakes? And that's okay. It's okay to do that. Do you realize that Hagar was not evil? Hagar wasn't a bad person, as far as we know. Hagar was a faithful servant. Even in bearing this son to Abraham, she was just doing what she was told, right? Her master, Sarah, was like, go have a child with my husband. We need to bring forth a son. And so all we know is she's just being faithful, but what happens here is Hagar actually becomes a detour from God's plan. She becomes a detour from God's plan. She pulls them off of course. And she helped Abraham to feel comfortable in his unbelief because now he bears this son. It's not a son of the promise. This is not of God, but he gets emotionally attached and loves this son of his own plan. Sometimes we build relationships with people in our lives where we get attached to things that are not really that bad, yet they're unprofitable in our life. Right? It's not that it's bad, but it's not producing anything good, and it's not producing anything of God in our lives. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:23, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." Just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. Right? I mean, Paul's saying that I can do a lot of things, you know, that are okay for me to do, but it doesn't mean that all those things are going to be helpful. Some of you want to do things that are actually not really going to be helpful in your life. I don't. That's a waste of my time. Why do I want to do something that's not going to be helpful? Why do I want to do something just because I can if it's not going to be edifying? It takes maturity in our lives to know the difference between things that are helpful and things that are harmful to our walk with Jesus Christ. Right? We got to know, what are the things that are going to help me get closer to Christ? What are the things that are going to help me get closer to the plan that God has versus the ones that are going to pull me away, the ones that are going to take me on a detour just because I can do them? Some things are okay or permissible, and they may even be fine for someone else's life. That's one of the worst things, is when we begin to, well, but this person does it and it's okay, but you're not them. What about you? Is it going to be profitable for your life? Is it going to be edifying to you and the plan that God has for your life? We got to internalize those things, church, and begin to say, God, is this good for me? Not is it good for someone else. Just because someone else does it doesn't mean it's good for me. We must ask if we've attached ourselves to people or things in our lives that are a mistake. A mistake that leads us away from God's plan. And if we have, we need to say goodbye to those things. Hagar represents those things that we tend to trust in. Those things we tend to hold on to instead of trusting in God and holding on to God. These times when we help God out by injecting our plan into His promise. These times where we look at the natural and we're no longer seeing through faith, we're starting to see through the natural. How do I accomplish it? How do I make it happen? But church, we need to take that first step of faith. Is really just obedience. It's obedience to God. What do you want me to do? Oswald Chambers said, "All God's revelations are sealed until they're open to us by obedience. The tiniest fragment of obedience and heaven opens up, and the profoundest truths of God are yours right away." And he said, God will never reveal more about himself until you have obeyed what you already know. God doesn't reveal more to you about himself until you obey what you already know. We have to look and say, have we taken a path that's a mistake? A path that wasn't what God had for me, a path that I tried to force into God's promise. And if I have, it's time to say goodbye. Second reason it was hard for Abraham to say goodbye, but he needed to, was basically what he had produced in this relationship was bad, right? He had to say goodbye because of what he had produced, this product of unbelief. Ishmael was a product of unbelief. Sarah initiated the relationship between the two, but it was Abraham that cultivated the relationship. It was Abraham that continued to work along the path of this promise, so to speak, as though it was God's, yet the decision was made to go ahead with the plan before it was too late. Think about the fact that God had made this promise, and as they're looking at their age and they're looking at their health and they're looking at what their bodies are capable of doing, they had thoughts that you and I probably would have. Well, if we don't do this now, right? If we don't have it, we don't have this kid at like 90 and 100 years old, like it's going to be too late. Some of you guys are like, listen, I'm like 40 or 50 and it's already too late. Hallelujah. They look at their situation, they're like, we've got to do something before it's too late. Church, if we're making our decisions on what we're going to do in order to accomplish God's plan, and our reasoning is, if I don't do it my way right now, it's going to be too late. Church, we're operating in a place of unbelief. We're operating in a place, do you really believe that God's not going to show up on time? I mean, it might be last second, because He may be testing you. He may be testing your obedience. He may be testing your faithfulness to His plan. But He will show up on time. Amen? He always does. If we're making these decisions because we think God won't come through, if we start making arrangements because God didn't do what we thought He was going to do, and He's not doing it when we thought He would do it, church, we find ourselves operating in a place of unbelief, and everything that is produced out of that is a product of unbelief, not of faith. Ishmael represents the work of man to fulfill the promise of God. He was Abraham's attempt to be God. He was Abraham's attempt to do what God could only do. It was Abraham's attempt to fill in where God was lacking and falling short. And I don't know about you, but every time in my life I've ever tried to do that, it's backfired on me. When I'm like, okay, God, I will take this upon myself. Romans 14:23 is really speaking about eating foods that's offered to idols, but the last part of it is still truly fitting for this story here. It says, he who doubts is condemned if he eats, but he who does not eat from faith, or because he does not eat from faith, but listen to this last part, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Ishmael represents sin in this story, this product of unbelief. He's not a product of faith, and if he's not a product of faith, then he's a product of unbelief. And if you're not doing something from faith, right, which is simply trusting and believing Jesus and what He said, that it's true, if it's not a product of faith, church, we've got to say goodbye to those things in our life that are not from faith. If you're not trusting God for it, then it's probably not good for you. The third thing is, Abraham had to say goodbye because God was calling him onward. Past his mistakes, past this place of unbelief and what it has produced, God is calling him to move forward. You know, I love the fact that we mess up our lives, probably in a pretty much continuous, you know, stream of mess ups throughout our lives. We're probably constantly, you know, God's trying to lead us down a path, and we're constantly taking detours here and there because we're always making mistakes, or we have a moment of unbelief and we try to do something ourselves. We try to make it happen. This isn't fast enough. Have you ever been stuck in traffic and, you know, you're really wanting to get somewhere and you're a little bit irritated and you're like, I could get out of my car and I could walk faster than what these cars are going. And there's a little bit of irrational thought in your mind like, I might do it. You know, I might just get out and just walk, just go. Or you got a missile button, right, in your car. I know somebody has one of those. It doesn't really fire missiles, but we wish it did sometimes. But think about that. You're just like, you know what? This isn't fast enough. I'm just ready to get out and just go. And even when we do all those things and we totally botch God's plan for our lives, we constantly mess up. Listen, the plan still remains. Like, if you're alive, if you have a heartbeat, if you have breath in your lungs, the plan that God has for your life still exists. You may not be on it. You may not even be on the right continent, but the plan still exists, and God is still willing to forgive and redeem and bring you back to the right place that you need to be to continue the work that He created you to do. Constantly, He's still there, He's still waiting, He's still ready, He's still leading, He's still trying to draw you back to the right path because the plan does not fail, right? God's plan is still there. And so Abraham is called onward. He comes to this place where Abraham cannot find the blessing of God if he stays in the failure of yesterday. The blessing of God's not back there. He's already messed it up. The blessing of God is going forward. The blessing of God is progressing from here. And Abraham would have liked for God to bless what he had done. Wouldn't it have just been easier if God could have blessed Ishmael? You know what? We'll make them joint heirs to the throne, right? I'll just apply the promise and it'll flow through both of them. Wouldn't that have been easier? It would have been easier, but it wouldn't have been fruitful. It wouldn't have been fruitful. God's not going to take our mistakes. Listen, I know He can turn our mistakes for good, but I'm going to tell you, He doesn't take our mistakes and put them in place of His perfect plan. He'll make them work together somehow, and He did. But when we think about the fact that God blesses work of obedience, not work of disobedience. God blesses work of faith, not work of unfaithfulness. He wanted things to stay where they were. Could you just bless my son? Don't let me send him away. But after all, what harm would there be in having the son of the promise and the son of the bondwoman just grow up together? What would be the harm in that? Abraham would have loved for things to stay the same, but there comes a point in our time where we've got to deal with our failures. See, that's the part. We don't like to deal with our failures. God, can you just make my mistakes good? Wouldn't that be glorious? We didn't have any consequences for anything that we've done wrong. God just made it good. That'd be an easy life, wouldn't it? Church would be full. Amen. It'd be packed in here. It'd be packed all across town if they knew, like, God just takes all your mistakes and removes all consequences and just makes it work. It's a glorious life. But there comes a point in our lives where we've got to deal with failures of yesterday. We can't continue as though nothing has happened and nothing has gone wrong. Not if we want to be in God's plan. T.D. Jakes said, if you don't deal with your mistakes, after a while, your mistakes will mock your miracles. If you don't deal with your mistakes, after a while, your mistakes will mock your miracles. Abraham could not walk in the future blessing that God had for him if he was still shackled by the mistakes of his past. See, he was bound to the bondwoman. Where was Hagar from? Does anybody remember? Egypt. Hagar was from Egypt. What do we know about Egypt? It's a place of bondage, right? And this is long, you know, this is obviously not at the same time, but it's like she's from Egypt. She's a bondwoman from the place of bondage. And Abraham is bound to the bondwoman because of this son that is not the son of the promise. He was about to learn that we must be willing to walk away from our failures and do whatever it takes to be free from the bondwoman. It may appear to others that are being blessed that you know they're not doing what God has asked them to do, but again, it's not about other people, it's about me. What do I need to do? Don't concern ourselves with what appears to be the case. God has a plan for you, and we've got to tell Hagar goodbye because God is calling us onward. So does God have a plan for your life? Yes, right? God has a plan for our lives. And the thing is, we've got to leave behind those mistakes and that unfruitful relationship from this world, and we've got to decide to follow Jesus. Listen, Jesus did not die on the cross and rise from the dead so that we could just walk around bound and restricted from God's plan, failing in our failures for the rest of our life. Listen, Jesus is the plan. Like, that's it. He is the plan, and it's got to come back to Him. He is the way. And so for each and every one of us, we have these Hagars in our lives. We have these things or these people, these mistakes, these unfaithfulness thoughts and actions that we've taken to try to take over God's plan and force our own plan upon His promise. But listen, today we know what these reasons are. I pray that the Holy Spirit's revealing those to you. It's different for every one of us. The thing is, when God reveals to us what those Hagars are in our life, what those mistakes are, those moments of unfaithfulness, we've got to come to the place where we're willing to say goodbye. And it's hard because we get emotionally attached to those things just like Abraham did. You may be walking in a season where you've had your Hagar for 14 years. And it's just become a normal part of your life and it's something that you actually care about. But it may still be a mistake that God's calling you onward from. The thing is, are we willing to say goodbye? That's the hardest thing sometimes, is being able to let go. Some of us, maybe you've let go of those things, but you're still walking around with that condemnation from what you've done. You're still holding on to that. I believe that that can be just as much of a bondage as the action itself. And so today's the day we're going to let those things go. Would you stand with me? Today's the day that we come to a place where we realize that I've gone as far as what I can go with the bondwoman. Right? I've gone as far as I can go walking in this life of bondage. I've gone as far as I can go walking in my mistakes from yesterday, when God's calling me forward and He's got blessing on the other side. I've gone as far as I can go with the sins dragging me down and wearing me out. And today, I know we started the service with a season of repentance, but church, man, there's times where we just need to come back to that place and say, Lord, I give it to You. I give up this sin. I give up these things that are dragging me down, that are holding me back because they're wearing me out. Listen, if you're worn out today, there's rest to be found in Jesus, amen? Today you've gone as far as you can go trying to pretend that it's okay. That's it. It's time to say goodbye. We can't just continue to go forward pretending. Listen, when we pretend that things are not as they are, we think we've got everybody else fooled. You know, all of our Facebook posts are glorious and everybody's happy, but at the end of the day, we know that that's not the reality of life. In fact, it's a very small portion of life, and public perception, it doesn't matter what that is. At the end of the day, you know what you're going through, and just pretending things are okay, you just continue to be miserable. You just continue to be in a place of wishing things were better. You're only fooling yourself, and today's the day to say goodbye to that false image that we try to apply to our lives. Today's the day to say we've gone as far as we can, holding on to our own way of doing things. Man, that's the hardest part sometimes, is saying, Lord, okay, Your plan fully. Right? I know that I say I accept Your plan, but I'm always trying to inject my ideas and trying to speed things up. But today's the day to say goodbye to that and say, you know what, God, I'm willing to just fully receive the plan that You have for my life. As ridiculous as it may sound, as ridiculous as it may seem, and as slow as it may move, I'm willing to just continue to walk in obedience. Church, there's nothing greater that we can do than just to walk in obedience to what God has called us to do. It's time to say goodbye to these things. Do you realize when we say goodbye to the Hagars in life, do you realize that we open ourselves up to let God do something amazing in our lives? Do you realize that sometimes that's what's hindering God from doing something amazing? And we're like, God, where are You? And God's like, let go of the bondwoman and come to the Son of the promise, who we now know is Jesus. Right? Come to the Son of the promise. But you've got to let go. You can't just have them both. If Abraham couldn't have the bondage and the promise, listen, you can't have the bondage and the promise. They can't coexist. We've got to say goodbye to Hagar this morning. We've got to trust that God will do something that only He can do. We've got to trust that God will do something in the right timing, in the right ways, in His ways, and we've got to come to a place of trusting Him today. If you believe that with me, I just want you to raise your hands. And Father, we just come to You right now. As children of God, Lord, we come in faith. God, we rebuke the Hagars in our lives. Lord, we say goodbye right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we turn loose of those old mistakes. We turn loose of the sins that drag us down, and we repent of those things, Lord. We say we're sorry. Lord, forgive us. We receive the perfect forgiveness that was poured out by the blood of Christ on Calvary. Lord, that right now we turn loose of our own ways that we've been holding on to. And Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we just say that we trust You. We want Your ways, Your plan. Holy Spirit, will You speak to our lives? Will You speak to our hearts today? God, will You reveal to us any of these Hagars that we continue to hold on to? Lord, when we don't see it, Holy Spirit, will You see it and convict us? Lord, right now, as we turn this stuff loose, God, I pray that You'd put each of our feet back on the path that You have for us. Holy, entirely, Lord, the promise of God, we want it and we want it all. Lord, we ask that You'd work miraculously in our hearts and lives right here today as we worship Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names. As we turn loose of these things, Lord, we pray for Your perfect plan to work mightily in our lives, that it would produce something good, that it would produce something lasting, that it would produce something fulfilling in our hearts. We give it all to You right now in Jesus' name. Amen.